जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोस्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः. सो वी आर डिस्कसिंग दि फोर्थ हिम प्रकृतिं परमां. सो वी हैव कंप्लीटेड दि फर्स्ट एंड सेकंड पार्ट, फर्स्ट टू थ्री वर्सेस. Then we have completed the four in the middle verses. Even though all of them are the verses only, shlokas, so a musical way of singing or hymning is possible for the first to three and last to three, but not the four. That also I have heard singing in Jairambati. They sing that with tabla and all that. It is possible to make anything, but usually it is not sung. So the last verse we have is pavitram charitam yasyaha pavitram jivanam tatha pavitrata swarupinyai tasyai kurmo namo namaha. Salutations to the Divine Mother. So he says, whose character is pure, whose life is pure, and who is the embodiment of purity, I bow down to her again and again. So this word pavitram and shuddham, they are used synonymously. So what is shuddham? Pure. What is pure? When a thing remains in itself and another thing doesn't come and mix with it, that is called purity. I gave the examples. There is water, so you mix mud, it becomes impure, ashuddha we call it, unclean also. But I also pointed out, really speaking, no two things can be mixed at all. Only if it is one thing, it can be mixed with same thing. Water can be mixed with water. Oil can be mixed with oil, because that is of the same nature. But you cannot mix even milk with water. You can't mix sugar with water. You can't mix salt with water. You can mix. They appear to be one, but really speaking, they remain separate. That's why we indicate it by what? Watery milk. Watery milk and milky water. What is the difference between watery milk and milky water? When water is mixed in milk, that is called milky, watery milk. If it is the other way around, you mix milk to water, that is called milky water. So even though they may appear to be completely one, they can never become one. How do we know? We can separate them. By boiling the water, you separate. What do you do? Condensed milk. What do you do? Payasam. You evaporate all the water by boiling it for a long time. So if it is salty water, distillation process is there. If it is sugar, distillation is there. So no two things can really be mixed inextricably, permanently. They may appear to be there. So what is the meaning of purity? A thing which is never contaminated cannot be mixed with another thing. In the world of duality, it is possible to make two things appear as one. But here, Holy Mother is hymned as that her life is pure, her conduct is pure, her life is pure, and she is an embodiment of purity. That means she is Brahman. That means she is infinite. She is eternal. Now, what is eternal? From the viewpoint of space, we call something eternal. That which remains unchanged. When two things are mixed, they become changed. They change each other. So such a change is not possible because the Divine Mother is infinite. Infinite means only one. Infinite is not a large thing. infinite is only one. That means there is no second. Advitiya, Advaita. If there is no second, then what can mix it and then make it impure? It is not possible to make this impure at all. This indicating indirectly what is called Brahman is called Shakti, what is called Shakti is Brahman, and our Divine Holy Mother is one. Now look at it. If Holy Mother is infinite and eternal and one, we say the same thing about Sri Ramakrishna also. So then how do you distinguish this is Sri Ramakrishna is Brahman, Holy Mother is also Brahman? Then where is the difference? There cannot be any difference. Not only that. So can I remain separately? No, no. Holy Mother is pure, but I am impure. If Holy Mother is pure, where from do I come? If Holy Mother is infinite, Holy Mother is eternal, Holy Mother is pure, where from the second one called me appear? That means I am also pure. Because I am none other than Holy Mother, or Sri Ramakrishna, or God. This is the idea, logic that goes that I am also pure. Because indirectly, without understanding, we are telling that one in two different ways. An agnani, an ignorant person, he says God is infinite. What about you? I am finite. God is huge, I am small. Yes, it is possible. Huge and small, big and small, two things are possible. But infinite and finite, that is not possible. So unconsciously we are telling, I am also infinite. If you say God is infinite, then you cannot be. If you cannot be, you are not, then you think you are, then who could you be? Only infinite. I hope you are following the logic. So the moment you say something is infinite, then two infinites do not exist. Therefore, I am automatically the infinite. This is pure worldly person's way of telling. But if we are devotees, we don't use that word. We use, I am a child of God. But meaning exactly the same thing. If God is infinite, who am I? I am also infinite. Then who is the mother and who is the child? There cannot be any difference. But that offends our sense of emotion. And that's why the scriptures do not disturb us. Okay, you maintain that attitude. So now you re-examine the meaning of Hanuman's words. Deha buddhya tu dasoham, jiva buddhya tu damshakaha, atma buddhya tu mevaham, iti me nischita matihi. Ramakrishna very often used to quote this one. So when I think I am the body, then I am your servant. When I think that I am a jiva, means part of you, then you are the larger whole and I am the smaller. And when I think I am Atman, then there is no I, there is no you. But even from the viewpoint of finiteness, you cannot posit infinite and at the same time you say you are infinite and I am finite. The only thing we can say is finite, infinite. You can't say the word infinite you. You can't say the word you, because you means I am separate, you are separate, you are infinite. What about me? There are only two options. Either I am finite or I am another infinite. There cannot be two infinites by definition. This is the most wonderful thing, but they do not wish to disturb our mental state. Then what does it mean? Here is a wonderful thing you have to understand. What it really means is, I don't know what I am talking about. When I use the word infinite, I don't know what I am talking about. Even when I am using the word infinite, I mean it is finite only. How can you utter and say, you are infinite and I am finite? It's impossible, is it not? That means we are using a word without really meaning it. This is the meaning of, so the conduct is pure, life is pure, and you are the embodiment of purity itself. What is the big deal of difference? Pavitram jivanam, pavitram charitam. Charitam means what? Conduct. Conduct. Jivanam means life. What is the difference between conduct and life? So there is a subtle difference. Not really, there is a subtle difference. What is the difference? So conduct belongs more to the realm of the mind than outside, outward expression. A person is very pure because it is quite possible that somebody in the mind is very pure, but the actions might appear not to be pure. So let us take some examples. Here is a Karma Yogi, and he happens to be a soldier, and he happens to be fighting in a war. What are his actions? Killing. Killing the action. And the more number of people he kills, the greater the person is lauded, praised, awarded. Whereas if you even hurt somebody outside the war, then you will be arrested, and then the police will tell you, oh poor fellow, you did not know anything, run away. And then shoot them from the behind. And then tell them, that fellow is trying to escape, so we killed them. Many Naxals were killed like that in Calcutta many years back. Because these fellows, if the moment they are let out, they will do the same nasty things again. So Indira Gandhi had instructed, you take them to the jail. On the way, hey fellow, run away from here. And they believe that they are some kind policeman is releasing them. And they just jump down and then running, shoot them from behind and say they are trying to escape. We have finished the problem. This is the only way to finish the problem. Otherwise it will be constipated problem. So anyway, what are we talking about? The conduct belongs more to the mind. So for example, Karma Yogi's mind is very pure. He doesn't say, I am killing. What does he say? I am just an instrument. It is the Lord who is doing everything. Shakali Tomaricha. What is life means what? Whatever external activities are perceived by everybody, this is called life. So if we observe Arjuna's activities from outside, he is doing nasty things. Many things are done nasty things. That's why study of certain scriptures also require that we must have that common sense. For example, Yudhishthira, he told he shouted. What did he shout? Ashwatthama, Ashwatthama hataha
kunjaraha.
So Ashwatthama is dead. It's an elephant. That Dronacharya heard Ashwatthama is dead. And Yudhishthira made sure that he didn't hear the word elephant. So he said all his panchapranas were in his son, who turned out to be a very nasty fellow. Yes, Dronacharya's mind was very nasty mind. First of all, he's not supposed to be a Brahmana, should not teach things like archery, etc. Sometimes they also teach. But even when they teach, they shouldn't have that, what is called, ulterior motivation. He had a motivation. He wanted to insult Drupada. That is why he especially taught, he chose Arjuna, he taught him all the secrets, so that he knew the Arjuna will bring him to his feet. A brahmana should not cherish such types. This person has insulted me, this person has honored me. A sannyasi should not entertain, cherish these thoughts. A brahmana should not cherish these thoughts. If a brahmana cannot cherish these thoughts, how can a sannyasi cherish these thoughts? Should never. Anyway, so that is we have to understand, why did Yudhishthira, who was a dharmic, who was a truthful person, truth is part of the dharmam, dharma, dharmam chara, satyam vada. Why did he tell? Because, not because he has any personal interest, vested interest. It is a war, lot of ugly things were going on, and this person was unstoppable. The only way he could be stopped was through. So, it is a slight deviation from what we are talking. We have to understand Mahabharata in the proper spirit.
But why did he keep quiet when Draupadi was wrong?
Because that was his problem. Yudhishthira was a dharmic person, but he was also a very weak person. He was addicted to gambling. Yes, this is another point. Since you brought up the subject, very briefly I will tell you that Panchapandavas were not all innocent people. Predominantly, they were dharmic people. They were subject to lots of weaknesses. And some of the weaknesses, Yudhishthira's weakness was gambling. So, twice, first time he lost. Then Dhritarashtra gave them back, gave a boon to Draupadi. Through her, they gained back whatever they lost. Then Duryodhana went and persuaded his father, invite them a second time. Should he not think? First time also he should not have come. Second time he should not have come at all. Because he knew that who was playing? Shakuni was playing. Shakuni was a cheat. He was a cheat. And he knew how to throw the dice. So that ability Yudhishthira did not have. So for entertainment, okay, you want to play. But losing all those kingdoms and all those things, what right have you got? Have you ever seen in the history an elder member can gamble away his younger brothers, his wife and all those things? He had no right. All the five Pandavas had the right. He committed a terrible mistake and he suffered not because of dharma. Suffered because of his weakness. We should not have, because we are all blind people, you know. All Panchapandavas were very innocent people, very this thing, nothing of that sort. How many times Bhima had given a lot of blows to Duryodhana, God alone knows. It is like, you know, somebody puts a thick blanket over somebody and go on giving blows. And then that fellow starts crying, he gets hurt, and he goes complaining. And then, who bet you? This fellow bet me. And mother says, this fellow says, no, I did not bet you. You show me where is the injury? Because you had put a thick blanket and gave blows. There was no injury, but inside there is terrible injury. Now, of course, you can find through x-rays. In those days, who was finding out? So, this Bhimsena also did lot of tricks. That's why Duryodhana was boiling. He was not able to counter. And this was the only way. Anyway, he was also a slick fellow. Egotistic fellow and all those things. Now, what is the point we are discussing? That Arjuna's actions might seem to be impure from outside. So, the second example I wanted to cite was, when Karna's chariot had gone down, then Krishna says to Arjuna, this is the opportunity, he is not in a position to defend himself, finish him off. And Arjuna himself raised, remember, what is called, I have surrendered myself to you. Sishyasteham shadhi mam tvam prapannam. He is questioning the Guru now. So how can I kill? Because there are certain Geneva Convention is there, and this fellow is now not capable of defending himself. How is it possible for me? Is it not adharma? Then Sri Krishna convinces him that if you want to kill him, this is the only, either you kill him or he is going to kill you, first of all. Secondly, he told him that he is an adharmic fellow. He was, Karna was. So then Karna himself, Krishna, oh, you are supposed to be a wise person. How is it possible that I am in this condition? So is this not adharmic? Then Krishna cites 3-4 examples. And he says, when Drupada Raja was there, he was not able to defend. How come you inspired Duryodhana to go and attack people? Was it not adharma? Then why did you inspire Duryodhana to bring back? Would you like your wife to be made undressed and dragged into public? What did poor Draupadi do? Because he was having personal vengeance. He wanted to win Draupadi. Then Draupadi knew, if this fellow is allowed to hit the revolving fish, then he was quite capable of doing it, better than Arjuna. But then her eye was on Arjuna. So she understood that if I, then she taunted him, you are a Sutaputra, you are not a Kshatriya, and therefore you are unfit to follow into this. So he could not do anything, because it was only after that Duryodhana, he says, from in future nobody can call you a non-Kshatriya. I am making you a king. But then the society knew very well, yes, he has made you in charge of that. You are not born as a Kshatriya. That calumny was there later on also. Only when Kunti revealed that you are my bastard son, and I could not make you public, I had to let you go, you are my real son. Then he cites, Duryodhana made me what I am today, I can't abandon him just because you come and declare yourself. But he gave a boon, I will not kill the other 4 fellows. The only fellow, if I get opportunity, I will kill, will be only Arjuna. So Pandavas will be only Pancha Pandavas. Either Arjuna will be there or I will be there. Both will not be there. Anyway, then Krishna cites so many things that when Abhimanyu entered it, where did your sense of dharma disappear? You surrounded him, a boy, and then one fellow, and you all joined together. Is it a dharma, Karna? Now you are citing because your life is in danger. Anyway, this is a very interesting way of praying. What I wanted to convey to you in this connection, that Arjuna's actions might seem to be impure actions. Some of these things, killing Karna in that condition, Yudhishthira shouting, Ashwatthama Ahataha, some of these things. But their conduct is pure. So why, how is their conduct pure? So they did not want to grab anybody's kingdom. It was Duryodhana and co. who wanted to grab everything, deprive them of everything. So for the good of the people, because if somebody is does injustice to somebody, they have the capability to do injustice to anybody else. So today it may be the Pandavas may be the victims. Tomorrow somebody else will be the victims. Because that sense of injustice, once it is there, then it will make a person blind. So that is why this Dharma Yuddha, Krishna calls this Yuddha what? Dharma Yuddha on whose part? Not on the part of the Kauravas. On the part of the Pandavas it is Dharma. On the part of the Kauravas, it is pure adharma. So it is your duty to counter the adharma. A great principle. One kingdom cannot declare war against the other kingdom, unless there is a justifiable cause, dharmic cause. That is very important point. Most of the countries that fight is because they want to grab something and all those things. Anyway, coming back to our subject, pavitram, conduct, charitam, charitra means what? Conduct. And jivanam means what? The expression of one's thoughts in concrete, physical, external life. So Holy Mother was never seen to do anything impure because she used to think, I am the mother of all. And which mother wishes ill of anybody? So injustice is done only, these are my people, these are not my people. Then only there is a possibility of injustice. But Holy Mother used to consider herself as the mother of everybody. So her thought was pure, her conduct was pure, and then in the highest sense, she is the Divine Mother. Therefore, she is infinite, and therefore, she is absolutely pure. And by that also, we indicated that if I think I am a child of the Holy Mother, I am also pure, because there cannot be two pure things. There can be only one pure thing, one infinite, one eternal principle. That is what, O Mother, tasyai kurmo namo namaha. A small point, this Sanskrit is a little bit tricky. If it is what is called male, it's then the gender, tasmai kurmo namo namaha. Tasmai. If it is female, tasyai. So this difference, many of the singers do not seem to know about this difference. So they mix up. Even some of Swamis also have seen this one mixing up. Tasmai and tasyai. Anyway, there is nothing we can do. The devotees are also ignorant of Sanskrit. So nobody understands whatever it is. Then, devim prasannam pranatartihantrim yogindra pujyam yugadharma patrim tam saradam bhakti vijnana datrim dayasvarupam pranamami nityam. O Mother, I surrender myself to you. Pranama means surrender. Prakrishta rupena namaskara is pranama. So when we do pranama, there are different types of pranama. And axe, wood cutting pranama. Like that they do it, you know, you take up an axe and about to do that. This is called wood cutting axe pranama. Swami Adbhutanandaji mentions this one. Like that today some people do it. Some people just bend and do it. This is artha namaskara. But sa ashta anga, eight limbs must be touching. What is the idea? Complete surrender by the body, mind, and what is called causal body. Three ways, kayena, manasa, vacha, thought, speech, and action. All the three, I remember it is you who are responsible. This is called sashtanga pranama. Pranamami nityam. So, how many times do you surrender? How many times do you are you required to surrender? Morning you say, I surrender myself to you. And again, afternoon also, you say, I surrender myself. Where from you got back? So, morning you gave and after 5 minutes you took it back so that you could offer it again in the evening time. True self-surrender can be done only once. That is the idea that we have here, that I pranamami nitya means I surrender myself for eternity. And what type of person you are? Daya swarupa. She is the Divine Mother, is the embodiment of daya. That means what? Even if other people might be ungrateful, might be inimical might try to harm, that Divine Mother cannot show it, because her attitude is, I am your mother. For a mother, there is no ungrateful child. For a mother, there is no ungrateful child. From the child's point of view, there are grateful children and ungrateful children. Not from the mother's point of view. Otherwise, what happens if she thinks this is grateful child, this is ungrateful, her reaction will be partial only. Yeah, she will feed the best things to the grateful child and the rest of the things for the ungrateful child. No, always we have to understand it is ungratefulness from our side. She is the embodiment of Daya. Why Daya? Because she knows these are all my children and there is nothing wrong with them. But they do not know about it. We are ignorant. She is not ignorant. So that is why, O Mother, that means what? Whatever conduct may be, I know I am defective. You please take me into your lap. This story of Padma Vinode. There was a person whom Sri Ramakrishna loved very much. Towards the end of his life, he became a drunkard. And then, I think some of you at least know the story, at midnight after drinking, he used to pass in front of Holy Mother's house. And he used to enter into this house any time, midnight. So Sharadananji got very upset because he comes at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, and shouts and disturbs the household. And especially Holy Mother's. She is very sensitive. The moment you say, Ma, immediately she responds. She has got that, weak ear. Kaan patla. In Bengali we call it kaan patla. Means, anybody telling, gossiping about somebody else, even 100 miles we are able to hear. I am sitting here and shouting, even then it is not entering into the ears. She is called in Bengali Kaan Patla, very weak ear. That's why Guru is also called Karnadhar. He who catches hold of your ears and then takes you to the other side. There is no other way. So, he used to come. So, he instructed, do not open the ear. Oh, next day, the fellow came and he found out that this whole house is locked. And he knocked, apply, no reply. He got annoyed. So he went, but he knew Holy Mother. He was a great devotee inside, even in that state. So he started, Utho go karuna mahi, kholo go kutira dwar, tara swari dhakitechi, tara, kita, something is there. I am shouting at the top of, and you are sitting inside the your house safe and sound, and you are not opening the door for me, O Mother, like that. The moment he started, suddenly the windows from upstairs opened and Holy Mother peeped out and he recognized. Immediately he rolled on the ground and then he started, Jatane Hridaye Rekho Adarni Shyama Make Mon. O mind, keep your mother. Adarini, she is the embodiment of the greatest love, embodiment of love. Mon is a twist there. Mon, tui dek or ami dek. O mind, you behold her and I will behold her. That is the original song. This fellow altered it a little. Mon, O mind, tui dek or e sharat jano na dekhe. Let not the Sharadananda see her, because he only understood. He instructed not to open the door. Sharat jano na dekhe. So let not Sharat see her. Only me and you, O mind, we will behold the Divine Mother. So he got the blessings of the Divine Mother. And then after a few days he became very sick. and he was admitted in a hospital. Completely, in a second, he gave up all drunkenness, everything. And then it was the last few days. Doctor declared he's not going to recover. Already the damage was done. What happened? The doctor had forbidden him to drink water and to not to eat certain things. Somehow a tremendous desire came into him to eat one grapes, but doctor had forbidden. In those days, medical knowledge was like that. And from Udbodhan, one brahmachari was sent to serve him. Holy Mother herself, Sharat Maharaj also, they loved him. He knew, Thakur loved him. Whomsoever Thakur loves, he is beloved of everybody. So this brahmachari was looking. One day this person said, I feel terrible desire to take one grape. But the doctor strictly warned him, don't give him. So the brahmachari, for his own sake. So that man became very sad. I know these are the last days. I know you are not giving me, not because you are cruel. The doctor instructed him. But anyway, Thakurir Jai Cha. With that he passed away. And this brahmachari felt terrible. What is there? What is this stupid doctor saying? After all, doctor himself declared there is no hope. If I give then one grape, what would it have mattered? Anyway, he was going to die. Later on he wrote this article. I felt terrible. I denied whole life. I suffered from that guilty conscience. But anyway, what is this story about? The Holy Mother, she considered him as her own son, Daya Swarupa, because they know we are none other than themselves. Though we say the motherly feeling, she knows we are her children. She knows we are not children, we are not grown-ups, we are none other than Paramatma. They know that. But the human expression is, I am the mother, you are the children. I am the guru, you are the disciples, like that. So, what is the nature of this? Saradam. In Sanskrit, Sharada and Sarada are synonymous. Sha and Sa are synonymous. So, really, Sharada means what? Sarada. Sarada, Da means he or she who gives, one who gives. Sara. Sara means what? Pure knowledge. What is that knowledge? The what? That. Tattvamasi. That is the essential knowledge Divine Mother gives us when we are ready. She is giving right now also, but we are saying we are not ready for it. Saradam. What does she give? Bhakti Vijnana Dhatri. The bestower of devotion. Bhakti means devotion. Means if a person is endowed with emotion, she will convert that emotion into devotion. But if somebody has got that attitude of intellect, then she will make that intellect into a fruitful intellect, which is called Jnana. Bhakti Vijnana Dhatri. So, Devi Imprasannam. You are the Devi. Diva, Divu means to shine. So this is the pure consciousness. She is the pure consciousness. And Prasanna, she is well pleased with everybody. Does God ever become angry with anybody? Look at some of the scriptures. Angry God. I am your only God. And if you turn your attention to if it's any other God, I am a jealous God. I am a jealous God and I am a jealousy God also. So if you worship anybody else, I will come and give you. Do you think God will ever do that? Can do that? If he slaps anybody, whom is he slapping?
Himself.
Himself. God knows. But the stupid, foolish human beings, they think that God can get angry. And no, God will not get angry. Why do we think that God gets angry? Because we go through happy and unhappy experiences. So, unfortunately, sometimes we are devotees. So when we are going through happy experiences, we don't think much about God. It's all because of me. But if we are going through unhappy experiences, who created? God is angry, because he can give unhappiness only when he is angry. Why is he angry? I don't know why he is angry. God alone knows why he is angry. This human thinking faculty goes somehow outside the periphery of any rationality. So all credit is taken when something is nice is going on, and all discredit should go to God. That's what our nature, you know. So prasanna, God is ever pleased. When is she not prasanna? She is always prasanna. So God thinking as a loving mother is called Devi, Deva and Devi. Pranata Arti Hantri. Hantri, she is the destroyer of what? Arti. That is the same thing. Sharanagata, Dinartha, Paritrana, Parayane. If you take refuge, she is ready to remove all your Arti. Now, interesting. So, what is this Arti? And interestingly, those who are from North India, there is a difference between Arti and Arati. Where are you going? I'm going to the Ramakrishna Mutt also. What for are you going? Oh, Arti is about to start. Arti means distress. Arati means making stotram to the divine. That is called Aratrikam. Aratrikam is the Sanskrit word. Arati is shortened term. But North Indians, you know, Rama becomes Ram. So here, Arati becomes Arti. I am going to attend the Arti like that. Just then, nothing. People are completely unaware of this distinction. Tasyai and Tasmai like that. So, Pranata Arti Hantrim, she is the destroyer. But the interesting meaning is Arti doesn't mean what we think is distress. Our happiness is the greatest distress from the divine eyes. Because when we are suffering, it is naturally we turn towards God. But when we are happy, naturally we forget God. That is why the Divine Mother doesn't want us to forget our true destiny. So she, out of her infinite compassion, she makes us go through all these sufferings. And if we only understand that, we will be blessed people. That is why Holy Mother said, misery is the gift of God. How few of us could understand that? So from the common viewpoint, whenever we are unhappy, remember the Divine Mother, she will remove the unhappiness. From the spiritual point of view, that to get us out of this transmigratory circle, samsara sagara, khandana bhava bandhana. So that is the ultimate meaning. She is ever ready, but we have to be ready to receive her grace. That is the meaning of pranata, means what? I am ready to receive the grace of God. That is the meaning of pranata. I am ready to receive. That's why Krishna Bhagavan did not open his mouth until Arjuna, he categorically stated, Sishyasteham shadhimam tvam prapannam. I have taken refuge, I surrendered myself to you. Now I am Shishya. Shishya means what? He fit to be commanded is called Shishya. Shasana. Shadi. Not Shadi. Not North Indian Shadi. It is Shadi means you command me. The question of a guru cajoling, requesting, suggesting doesn't arise. You command me, do this and don't do this. That is the imagery of a chariot. So, what is the chariot? That the buddhi is the sarathi. This body is the chariot. So, God sits and makes you do this. He commands the mind. Arjuna is the mind. And buddhi is the driver. The buddhi says, I will take you. I know what is right, what is not right. And whatever I do will be conducive to your welfare. That is the meaning of that imagery of Arjuna standing there. And then Krishna is driving. The chariot is the body. And Sri Krishna is the wisdom that comes after surrendering ourselves to Him. And we are the personality called the mind, which will behave according to the commandment, the buddhi or divine wisdom commands us to do. That is the meaning of it. So, devim prasannam pranatarthi hantri, then yogindra pujyam. She is worthy of puja, means she who has been worshipped by yogindra. So, there are two meanings to it. That Yogin Maharaj is called also Yogindra. Yogindra. Yogin Maharaj was Holy Mother's disciple. And Yogindra means he who is the best among all the yogis, referring to Sri Ramakrishna. So Sri Ramakrishna worshipped Holy Mother on a Falaharini Kali Puja night. And so she who has been worshipped, that should have been the meaning. But here what it says, Pujyam means it is not a one-off event. So every spiritual aspirant, every yogi, he has to surrender himself. Totapuri had to surrender himself at the feet of the Divine Mother, and then only his realization became complete. So our Holy Mother is ever ready to be worshipped by even the highest spiritual aspirant. So three meanings we got now. What is the first meaning? She who was worshipped by Yogin Maharaj. And he was her disciple. Therefore, always he will have only that feeling of reverence towards Holy Mother. That is the first meaning. Second, Sri Ramakrishna not only worshipped her once. In his mind, he was always looking upon her as what?
Divine.
As a Divine Mother. That is the worship. That is the best worship anybody can give. Yogindra Pujya. And she who is capable of receiving even the worship of a great soul like Sri Ramakrishna. How great? Who is greater? The one who is worshipped or the one who worships? Both are great. Both are great, you know. Because even to recognize that knowledge the person has got, this is God, Goddess. So I have to worship her. That recognition itself is a worship. That is why whenever we do puja, who is capable of doing puja? There is a Sanskrit verse, Devo Bhutva Devam Yajet. This is the principle of worship. Having become God, then you are fit to worship God. True worship of God means true appreciation of God. Who can do?
Only God.
Only God understands what is God. So, this a worshipper also is equally great. Yogindra Pujyam, here that is the second meaning is Ramakrishna always worshipped her as divine. As what? Not as Sharada Devi, as what? As the Divine Mother. That is second meaning. And always he was worshipping her in his mind as the, that means looking upon her as what? As Divine Mother. Interesting also is, you know, even he was also looking upon her as his wife. So he used to criticize, your food could be a little more tasty. He passed remarks about Holy Mother's cooking abilities. Even though in his mind, she was the Divine Mother. But her manifestation as a cook was not great. Wish that she could have manifested better culinary skills. That is a separate issue. This is a separate issue. And the third meaning is, any spiritual aspirant ultimately must surrender himself or herself to the Divine Mother. Yogindra Pujya. Then Yugadharma Patrim. This is the first time in the history of the world when the wife of any incarnation directly participated in the establishment of Dharma. In fact, how many years Sri Ramakrishna was effective really after his sadhana was complete? Very few years. Sri Ramakrishna passed away in 1886. And Holy Mother lived until 1920. So nearly 34 years she went on administering the spiritual welfare of the entire Ramakrishna kingdom, all the devotees, etc. Even today she is doing it. That is why Yuga Dharma Patrim, she who had participated in the Dharma Sthapana as an incarnation of God, and equal she played, if not more, at least equal part in the establishment of Dharma and helped Sri Ramakrishna in his divine mission. That is what is being mentioned here, that Yuga Dharma Patri. So, O Mother, you are ever pleased, you are Devi, you are the destroyer of the distress of all those who take refuge in you. You are worthy of being worshipped by Sri Ramakrishna, by Yogananda, and by every spiritual aspirant. You have taken part in the establishment of Dharma along with the incarnation. You are the bestower of Sarada, Sara, the divine self-knowledge, that I am divine, and you are also capable of giving devotion. You are also capable of giving Vijnana Dhatrim. And you are an embodiment of pure compassion, pranamami nityam. Therefore, I salute you all the time. Snehena badnasi manahasmadiyam, doshan aseshan saguni karoshi, ahetu nano dayase sadoshan, swanke grihitva yadidam vichitram. What do we see when we open our eyes, O Mother? That you are taking everybody, even those with full of defects, unworthy of being treated. What are you doing? Like a loving mother, taking up the children who are playing in the mud, smeared all over with mud. What does the mother do? She washes the children and takes them on her lap. You are doing this. Then you bind our minds. How do you bind? No. By, at the point of gun, Hitler saying, you love me. Yes, sir. Smart salute. This Hitler salute, Hitler salute, you know, like that. Is that by force? So, snehena badnasi. Through your affection, you bind us. Who gives affection first? Mother gives to the child or child gives to the mother? How does the child learn? If what is the mother is looking after, the way mother looks, the way mother handles, is a beautiful picture once I saw. David Attenborough had shown this one. One ferocious tigress had given birth to cubs, and then there was a danger of flooding where she was. She wanted to take the cubs to the a higher place, and it was a fatty, you know, it was about 15 days or 20 days old cub, and when it was born, like that scrawny. After 15 days of drinking mother's milk, hrishta prishta, and then the mother was trying to catch it. It was not able to walk also. So, like that it opened its mouth and put its head. Then it found And that fat baby, you know, this would hurt. So she withdrew, again tried like that to open her mouth, and then caught hold of it, and it was hanging like that. It was taken there to higher place. So those jaws are breaking the neck of even a buffalo with a snap. But the same jaws now, what are they doing? Taking the baby with the greatest love and care, and that is the Divine Mother. That's what snehena badhnasi manaha asmadiyam. Our minds are immune to the divine love. Divinity is always expressing itself through love, but we don't want to recognize. We don't want to recognize true love. Why, you know, true love most of the time is silent. What do we want? Vocal expressions of, I love you, I love you, I love you, 24 hours. And if 1 hour you stop by either sleeping or whatever, the other fellow changes his mind. This person doesn't love me. This is, take one, that leaf is there, you know, petals. One petal, he loves me. Another petal, he doesn't love me. What stupidity, you know. We are always running after verbal expression. Somebody says, you are great, you are wonderful, you are marvelous, 24 hours. Otherwise, we think others do not love us. True love is always very silent. A mother doesn't go on telling like that, but her very look is sufficient. Snehena badhnasi manosmit. Then, what is the proof that you really mother loves us? Doshan aseshan saguni karoshi. Whatever defects the child has got, in the eyes of the mother, they are not doshas. They are the greatest virtues. Saguni karoshi. This is one meaning. Another meaning is, by her grace, even the greatest virtue, the greatest defect, vice, is turned into a virtue. And only Divine Mother is capable of doing it. How does she do it? See, supposing somebody is very selfish. This is the greatest defect anybody can have. What does the Divine Mother do? She makes the person's mind, by giving that wisdom, that very selfishness, the greatest selfishness, now turns into the greatest unselfishness. Same thing, so much energy. Now it was, previously it was going towards selfishness. Now the same strength is going towards unselfishness. That is one meaning. Look at another way of looking at it. Here is a man. He is terribly addicted to another woman. Here is a man, and in his eyes, there is no other woman at all. Only this woman. She is the most beautiful woman, and all his love goes only towards her. This is the greatest defect anybody can have, because he is the greatest samsari. But the Divine Mother's grace comes to that person. What happens? Same attachment to the unworthy object. Now, with all its force, it is now completely turned towards whom? God. Towards God. Whether it is Tulasidasa, Saint Augustine, Bilva Mangala, it's like that. So many stories are there. In Sri Ramakrishna's life also, there are so many such incidents are there, where a man was addicted to either drink or a woman like that, and somehow to their great good fortune, they happened to come into contact with Sri Ramakrishna, and the moment they came, that very defect turned into the greatest virtue. So, what is the point here? It is not that we have to become the worst sinners in the world before becoming saints. What is meant is, if you want to be attached to something, really become attached. Develop the greatest attachment towards one object in this world. Ultimately, what happens? That object itself will act like the greatest mirror and turn our attention to a higher goal. At first glance, it appears to be this person is the worst worldly person in the whole world. But only such persons are capable of the greatest wicked, most wicked people only become the greatest people on earth. We are not talking about wickedness, we are talking about the strength that is behind the wicked. Who is the greatest wicked fellow? The person who has got tremendous intelligence and strength. A stupid fellow cannot become the greatest wicked fellow. That is why it is that tremendously powerful people, they appear to be very cruel people, etc. But that very thing, a time will come. They will just, what Sri Ramakrishna has called, mod firyada. You turn the direction and the person, he becomes greatest saint. A namby-famby fellow is neither a worldly fellow nor a spiritual fellow. He will be like that only. That's why, I don't think the advice is become the greatest wicked person in the world. So the idea is, whatever you want to do, put all your strength there. That is the main idea. So, doshan, aseshan. How many defects have we got? One, two. Because the first mistake is avidya. And avidya is the mother of all mistakes. Every mistake that is possible, we commit. But the divine, as soon as we turn, what does she do? Sarvebhyo papebhyo pi papakrittamaha. Even if you are the worst sinner in the whole world, you take refuge in me, and immediately I will grant you shashvat shantim nigachati. Instantaneously. The only condition is turn towards me, the Divine Lord says. Instantaneously you will get the greatest peace, permanent peace in the world. The only condition is turn towards me. That is the idea. Ahetu nano. So anybody can become compassionate, but we are all selfish. So if I get something, then I will also, you scratch my back, I also scratch your back. This is, we are all selfish people, traders in love, traders in everything. But God, there is nothing you can give him, first of all. Second thing is, he doesn't expect anything from us. What does the mother expect from the children? All that she wants is, Baba, you eat what I am cooking for you, you be happy, you sleep well, and that is the best time. When the child is sleeping, this is the greatest upakara any child can do to the mother. The longer the fellow sleeps, the better for the mother. Some children are so rascals. Whole day they sleep when the mother is busy, and whole night they want to play. And they demand, the parents also play with them only. And the condition of the parents are horrible. I know one incident. So there was a couple. They did not have children for a long time. They went on requesting every Swami that please pray to Thakur, let us have one child. So we say, we will pray, depends. And God also has become an American. Buy one, get one free. They got two. And these fellows are one of those two. Whole day they sleep. And the father goes to work. Mother also goes to work. And they come at night. They are tired. And these fellows, fresh, by the time they come, wake up fresh. And whole night they want to play with the parents. And this fellow was struggling. So one day night, one fellow was somehow sleeping, both were sleeping. One fellow got up and started crying. Immediately the other fellow joined. Both brothers joined. The other fellow joined. And soon after that, the husband also joined. I am not getting sleep, and yesterday I didn't get sleep, and tonight also I am not getting sleep. How am I supposed to function? The officer is scolding me. But what can be done? They are children. What can the parent? The parents know. They are not doing it deliberately. That is children's. So God will always forgive us. Doshan, aseshan, sagun, ahetunan, without any expectation. There is no selfishness. There is no vested interest there. Dayase sad sadoshan, you forgive all our defects. And then what do? Svanke grihitva, we are saying, you clean, you wash all your dirty children and take them up in your lap. Yat idam, when we behold that one, what could be more wondrous than that? Yat idam vichitram. This is one way of expression. The other way of expression, what is there so wonder? After all, every mother will do it. So, even animals do it. You know how they do it? So, when the baby comes, they start licking. They can't take a bucket and then or a hose pipe and do it. But they go on licking. As soon as they give birth, immediately they start licking. That is their way of cleaning the whole baby. That is not only that. I mean, that licking process, the chemicals that are emitting from the body of the baby, it is permanently embedded in the brain of the mother, so that even among half a million species, their own animals, they can recognize, this is my baby. This is wonder, God's creation. Because as soon as within 1 hour, 45 minutes to 1 hour, they have to be on the run. Otherwise, lions and tigers will be hunting them. And the baby has to run at equal speed with the parents. And then sometimes the babies get lost. The mother is looking for the baby is also looking for the mother. How do they contact each other? They text each other, I am here. How do that? This is the texting. The moment the baby comes anywhere near, the mother knows this is my baby, and the baby knows this is my mother. And all this is done through what? Through this licking process. And the baby also knows the mother's voice, mother's smell, and that is how, until they grow up, that acts as a bond, mother-child bond. This is something most fantastic thing we have to understand, what God has created. So, O mother, so you love us first and you bind us to you with the thread of divine love, and you forgive all our defects, and you make even our defects into the greatest virtues. And you do not expect anything, you do not do all these things because you gain something. Ahetunanu. Dayasayasa doshan. And ultimately you take us into your own lap because you have the knowledge. We do not have the knowledge that we are divine, but you have the knowledge that we are your children and we are also divine. Ultimately, what does it mean? Svanke grihitva? Wherever we are, after at the end of many, many experiences in this world, you alone bestow the knowledge and ultimately take us into your lap permanently. How? By giving that knowledge that you are also Tattvamasi, is the meaning. Prasidamataha vinayena yache nityam bhava snehavati suteshu priyamaika bindam chiradagdha chitti vishincha chittam kuru na sushantam. Prasida mataha vinayena yache. I humbly beseech you, O mother, prasida, be always gracious. The point is, the divine mother is always gracious. The mother is always gracious. But from a human point of view, we err. When we do something wrong, we think that like human beings, mother also, our divine mother also will become angry, take our offenses to heart, and she will punish us, which is not true. She cannot punish us. But if there is any punishment, it is only to make us realize that you are my children. So, vinayena nityam bhava snehavati suteshu. Nityam, always, without interruption. Suteshu, for your children, snehavati bhava, be affectionate. Is it really necessary to beg the mother, oh mother, you don't forget I am your child, so you always be kind like a mother. Is it necessary? It is all from human point of view. That means what? And you give me that knowledge that I will always remember you are my mother. That is the greatest boon anyone can give. Then he says, Chiradagdha Chitte. What is the condition of my heart? Chitta means here, heart. Chiradagdha. It is burning day and night. Burning with what? With only one. What is it? Desire, Trishna. I want this, I want that. We are restless. Burning comes only from one effect. What is it? It is, there are desires. I am unable to fulfill the desire, and that desire is burning me. If the desire is fulfilled, do you feel burning? You don't feel burning at all. See, actually Sri Ramakrishna's life, at least on three occasions he said, my body has been unbearably burning. Once Vairavi Brahmani came and she prescribed the remedy. What was the remedy? Sandal paste. And then fragrant garlands made up of fragrant flowers. This I never heard until I read the great master. Now I understand that you go to any temple, every temple the god and goddess are so much of sandal paste they will put and so much of garlands they put, fragrant garlands. Why do you think we put it? Do you think there is some reason behind it? I think so. Previously I used to think it is for decoration. Now I don't think it is not only for decoration. The main purpose is, so many of us don't go, and out of our grace, the Divine Mother or Divine Lord, they take up our sins. And then who has to suffer? They have to suffer. Because if they take our sins, they will also suffer. So this is one thing which will bring the immediate relief. I don't know whether it is scriptural. This is my understanding after hearing this incident. So like that, Sri Ramakrishna's every time, one time, Mahapurusha Maharaj's father came and said, I will make one, what is that, kavacha, as amulet, and amulet, and then it will be made out of with the Ishtadevata's name, etc., and that gave relief. So three times he said, unbearable suffering, I had it. Our hearts are ever suffering from not, that is from God longing. We don't have any longing for God. We have longing, not for God. We have longing for all other things, rubbish things. So our heart also is burning. But the Divine Mother, what should you do? Premaika bindum. You give me one drop of your love. That means let me be endowed with bhakti. The moment bhakti comes, you know what happens? What is bhakti? Desire for God. Desire for God will destroy the desire for everything else. And the nature of this desire, worldly desires burn us. And this desire for God, it soothes us. It fills our heart with joy. Premaika bindum chiradagdha chitti vishincha chittam kurunaha sushantam. This is the only way our mind can ever attain serenity and eternal serenity, forever serenity. One drop of love, What is that love? It's very interesting word. The word love is very interesting. Swami Vivekananda defined morality as love. Morality as love. What is love? To consider the other as myself is called love. When a mother love says, I love my baby, what is she telling? I consider you not as somebody else, but as my own self. And that is why if the baby is unhappy, the mother is also unhappy. If the baby suffers, who suffers more? The mother suffers. That is what is called morality, he said. Then you don't need to force somebody, don't tell a lie, don't injure the other person, don't take away things belonging to the other person. You don't need to tell, because who is going to cheat whom? Because I love, that if I cheat somebody, that is like cheating my own self. How beautifully he brought together. That is called prema aika bindum. The only thing that can make our minds completely serene is knowledge. What is that knowledge? Thou art me. You are not different from me. This is what I am begging. O Mother, I beg you with greatest humility. Why humility means what? I am incapable of doing anything. It is only out of your sheer grace you can give me. Nityam bhava snehavati sudha. I am your child. I don't know I am your child, but you know I am your child. So, always be ever gracious. Do not forget. Even if I forget you, you do not forget me. And my heart is ever burning in this crematorium of this world, filled with longing, addiction to worldly desires, which only bring even more misery than before. It's a beautiful saying in Hindi language. Jo dilli ka laddu khaya, o pachtaya. Jo nahi khaya, o bhi pachtaya. The fellow who eats dilli laddu, he also suffers. And the fellow who doesn't eat, he also suffers. That means whatever you do, you suffer. This world is like that. You do something, so you suffer. You don't do something, you suffer. Because that is the nature of this world. So, premaika bindum chiradagdha chitte vishincha, sprinkle one drop of your love. Kurunaha sushantam, forever my heart will be filled with the greatest joy. With this, the hymn is over and he says, Jananim Saradam Devi, Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum, Padapadme Thayo Shritva, Pranamami Murmuhu. So, who is Sharada Devi? Jananim Saradam Devi, my Divine Mother Sharada Devi, Jagadgurum Ramakrishna, the world teacher. Who is a world teacher? He whose teachings are capable of helping everybody, whatever be their situation. He is alone called Jagadguru, who can give guidance to everybody. Padapadme Tayo Shritva, taking refuge at their lotus feet. Muhur Muhuhu Pranamami, I salute you, both of you, again and again. This is the great hymn that Swami Abhedananda Ji had written. This is the essence of all the scriptures. What is it? The Divine Mother is the cause, the whole world is the effect. She is the mother of everything in this world. Not only human beings, and the tigers, the lions, the mosquitoes, both the good, the evil, she is the Mother. We are all her children. It is all a big playground, the whole world, and she is playing. But we are not aware that it is a playground. Every stepping stone destroys a world for her. Who wrote? Swami Vivekananda, Kali the Mother. Every stepping stone destroys a world for her. how many worlds are coming into being, how many worlds are being destroyed every single second. That is Ananta Koti Brahmanda Janani. The only consolation is Mithya Jagat Adhishtatri. The whole thing is, it's Mithya. Not now. Ah, my class is not Mithya. Otherwise, you will all just go do whatever you like. Already some of you are doing that one, I know. So, O Mother, I take refuge at the feet of the Mother and Ramakrishna, thereby telling, you are not two different beings. You are the one and the same being. With this, the hymn is over. And I am thinking from next class onwards, the first part of this class will be Katha Upanishad. We will talk about Katha Upanishad. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhur. Thank you.